Could Alabama's offensive coordinator be leaving for the NFL? We talk about the Commanders' new head coach and Dan Quinn. Your questions, live calls, and more on a Flame and Dragon Friday. But it's a road game on Crane & Company. Everybody out there listening, hope you guys are ready to have a fantastic weekend wherever you're at. I hope the weather's nice. And while you're having a great weekend, whether you listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, however, make sure you share the show. Leave us a 5-star review. If you enjoy our work, it's one of the best ways to contribute. Thank you. Yesterday, credible reports started to surface that new Alabama offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb, who's been with new Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer for a long time, is being pursued by the Seattle Seahawks for the same position, a move back to Washington, and obviously an upgrade to the NFL. But the question is, will he finally be the guy they decide on? And if they do decide that Ryan Grubb's the best option, will he go? And what should Kalen DeBoer do? Well, look, nobody knows that but Ryan right now. We'll find out more. The Seattle Times reported it. We've seen it in 247 Sports. This wasn't some back page sports column or just, you know, erroneous blog that reported it. There's generally pretty good credible information that this could actually happen. So if you're an Alabama fan and Ryan Grubb were to leave to go to the NFL, what is Kalen DeBoer's next option? I know you want to get upset. Some of you may even panic, but you shouldn't. Now, Ryan Grubb's a great play caller, right? And just because you can sing the cover of a song doesn't mean it's as good as the original. And it probably won't be. But one of the strengths of what Kalen DeBoer brings to Alabama is a system. Ryan Grubb called the plays, but it is Kalen DeBoer's system. When we talked to him at the Senior Bowl this week, he talked about being able to fit his system to the personnel around him. And that, yes, it was important that Ryan Grubb followed him to Alabama to help call the plays. But it is a system that they've been running that other people are accustomed to as well. Again, doesn't mean they can call the plays as good, but they know what's going on. If I was Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb did go to the NFL, I wouldn't try and go bring in a guy like UNLV's Brennan Marion and have to imply a totally new system with new terminology and other things that players that know the system, like the center that is transferred from Washington to Alabama. Obviously, we know what's going on with Austin Mack at the quarterback position coming over after Julian Sand decided to leave. That really messes up the transition process. So what do? You promote from within. Now, there's two candidates. Jamarcus Shepherd, who's the passing game coordinator, associate head coach with him at Washington. He's been at Purdue. He understands how to call the plays. We obviously know what his receivers have done and what they're going to do in the NFL, especially this pass class. And then we have our good buddy, David Cone's good buddy, Nick Sheridan, who's been an offensive coordinator before. He knows how to call plays. This wouldn't be his first time to put his toes on the dance floor. So, having said all that, losing Ryan Grubb would be a big hit. Especially in year one, when you're trying to get all the new personnel to understand what's going on and keep that continuity and stability. But that doesn't mean you go out and hire the first good-looking offensive coordinator that throws a cool play call sheet at you. You promote from within, you're 112-4, whatever it is overall, you keep that going. And that's what I would do. I'm going to go and bring in my co-host, David Cone, former Michigan quarterback, obviously knows Nick Sheridan as well. And it's Friday, and even though it's on the road, we know who's coming to King's Landing.
Come on. Hit my graphic, dude.
This is flaming.
I want to be ninja. Hey!
1.5.
1.5 still.
1.5.
Oh, I thought you said you were just going to go a half after we basically picked
the perfect because animal. To be honest with you, this is what I like to do. I'll lull you sleep at the beginning of the year. Right. You think you're on top of stuff. Wednesday meetings are feeling great. We're looking at film. God, they're making mistakes here. Next thing you know, you walk on the field and we're the Chiefs when the playoffs start. All right. Mm-hmm. So I'm really going to start bringing it out of y'all.
Honeypotting me?
Yeah. We can call it honeypot. We also call it something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you ever seen the interview, you know exactly what I'm talking about. 1.5 today.
All right, if you don't know, on Fridays, we cannot use his government name. So I'll refer to him as Flaming Dragon. Is Tanner legal?
Don't say
is Tanner legal?
That's never legal. Using
you know what? We'll just keep it how we go. We've been undefeated this year, If we win again today, we may have to switch things up. But, David, I do want to shift to you with this Ryan Grubb news. Again, nothing official, but like I said, there's been credible outlets that have reported this. And Ryan Grubb is a damn good football coach. He's a really good play caller. Like I said, a lot of people can sing a cover of a song really well. But, man, it's nothing like the original, the person who went out there and performed it first that's known for it. What say you?
I was going back and forth last night on whether or not this would be a significant loss for Alabama. And ultimately, yes, it would be tough, but more from an optics standpoint than I think when we get into the fall. I mean, like you said, obviously the offensive scheme is going to come from Kalen DeBoer. This is his offense. They're going to run what he wants to run. So it's not quite like an offensive-minded coach who's going to have complete control of the offense who leaves as the OC when you have a defensive head coach at the helm. At the same time, though, with Kalen DeBoer coming in his biggest job ever, you're the head coach of Alabama now. You're the guy following Nick Saban. This is when you need to take that CEO role more than any other time in your life. You know, I don't think Kalen DeBoer needs to be calling plays on the sidelines. That's why bringing in a guy who's coached under you almost at every stop you've been to. I was under the impression that Ryan Grubb was also at Indiana with them. That was not the case, but he was at Fresno. He was at Washington, obviously. This was going to be such a huge momentum changer bringing in Ryan Grubb so that Kalen DeBoer could take that CEO role. If this happens and Ryan Grubb ultimately decides his path is for the NFL and he wants to become the new Seahawks OC up over there under Mike McDonald, then I agree with you, man. Look, obviously I'm biased because Nick Sheridan is a brother to me, but name Nick Sheridan the offensive coordinator. Like I said, it's going to be Kalen DeBoer's offense. Nick has coached under Kalen DeBoer for several seasons and even took the OC job for Tom Allen at Indiana when Kalen DeBoer left, and that was when Michael Penix Jr. got hurt. So, you know, like Nick was having to call plays as soon as Michael Penix Jr. went down and had, I believe it was an ACL tear that year. Either way, Alabama's going to be fine on offense. They're going to develop, but you do want to keep Ryan Grubb in town if possible, just because Kalen DeBoer's entire focus needs to be that CEO mentality as he sets foot in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah. Yeah, no, without a doubt. We talked about this yesterday. The difference between being a head coach and a coordinator is oceans wide. The comparison I always use, it's like being the Secretary of State and then the President, two totally different things. Flaming, when you look at Ed, and David brought up optically, and we always use the word continuity and stability in this ever-changing landscape of college football. That's one of the biggest swords that you can wield and kind of gives you an advantage. He brings over Coach Huff, who's coached with him, I believe, since 2017. That unit just won the Joe Moore Award. Your center's coming over. You have continuity there. Jamarcus Shepherd, your wide receiver coach and passing game coordinator and associate head coach, is coming over there with you as well, so you have continuity there. You always want to keep the best coaches, right? You want to keep the best coaches you possibly can around you, especially the ones that know you. And I think, David, he was even with them at Sioux Falls. Yes. Back in NAIA. So I think it may even stretch that far
Sioux
back.
Sioux Falls, that's from 2007 to 2009, he was the offensive line coach. Yeah. And then from 10 to 13 at Sioux Falls, he was the OC and the quarterback coach.
Yeah, so you know, this is a relationship that spans back a long time. So losing him, you know, he is the play caller, right? Out of all those guys, he is the guy that has obviously, you know, been there. You know, not making the final decision, obviously goes through DeBoer, but he's the guy that DeBoer trusts. But again, Jamarcus Shepherd, he's heard everything that's going on in that headset. Play calling is really a team effort if you've ever been on a headset on a sideline. Coach Huff, the offensive line coach, he's listened to everything that Coach Grubb has said. So the drop-off I don't think will be that drastic, but I do agree with David. Optically, when you're at a place like Alabama, right, it's like being the mayor's family. You know, when you go out in the town, you can't be going out getting drunk or starting fights or acting a fool or peeing in the bushes, you know, in public in front of everybody or doing stupid stuff. You got to go out there and, hey, everything's great. Everybody's happy. It's all positive. Everybody's, I'm okay. You're okay. And that's okay.
Okay. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's going to be a knock. Obviously, it is. I mean, but the thing about it is, like, how long, Alabama fans, let's be realistic here. Right? How long you think Grubb was going to be there?
That's true.
All right, because in my opinion, I don't think he's there for more than 2 years. I really don't. Hell, he might have been gone last year. I'm not worried about it, okay? I mean, there's going to be somewhat of a drop-off, but talking to these guys even yesterday, man, the continuity of these coaches, if you go back, there's nothing like coaching with a bunch of guys who coach with each other for 10 plus years. Yeah. All right. Especially on the sidelines. Cause like that's when the bullets fly. That's when you really find out who you're coaching with. On the sidelines, when the game is going, these guys never seen the panic. All these guys on the staff are winners, right? And that bleeds down in culture. That bleeds down to your players. Is it going to be a little knock? For sure. But this was going to happen anyway. Mm-hmm. All right. Grubb is going to get a head coaching job somewhere anyway. So does it suck if you're a Bama fan? Yes, because you're not going to get the success if he does leave, but this was going
to
happen.
Well, if you're an Alabama fan, let's be honest, you're used to seeing coordinators come and go pretty quickly. Yeah. I mean, Nick Saban was running a career rehabilitation center and center for coaches who want to do other stuff good too at Alabama. So it's just because, again, this is a new head coach, this is a new staff, that this would make any sort of waves. I mean, Alabama's coordinators came and went under Nick Saban, but we all know what kept strong and kept true was that culture he built and the way he went about it. And Kalen DeBoer is going to say the same thing or do the same thing. Not exactly the same as Nick Saban. I want to make sure y'all hear me out. But he's going to instill that good culture that brings guys in that'll only help. Right? It's not going to hurt. We'll see how well they call the plays. That's a story for a different day. But make sure you hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. We got live calls. It's going to open up at 7:15 a.m. Central. I want to get to those pretty quickly today. I know we got a lot of people in the chat and that want to get through and talk about their team. There's a lot going on. But before we get to the Booster Club, I want to let you guys know, look, it's Mardi Gras season we're at right now. People are going to be going out, right? Having some adult beverages or some cold sodas, as we like to call them. And if you don't want to have that feeling the next day, you know, that bad feeling because you went out the night before? Well, the scientists at ZBiotics, they cracked the code. I mean, it's a real Nicolas Cage National Treasure situation. All right, nobody's getting younger. Let's be honest. All right, one or two beers out with the guys, for some people can lead to a not-so-fun morning. I know other people consume more, just do it responsibly. But that's why you need to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Here's what it is. We'll make this very simple. You drink ZBiotics before you go out and drink, and then you don't feel bad the next morning, all right? Because they attack a toxic byproduct. It's not dehydration that gives you that bad feeling the next day. It's a toxic byproduct in your gut, and they figured out a way to attack it. So drink ZBiotics before you go out. Then go have a great time. I'm telling you, you'll sleep a lot better, and you'll wake up a lot better, and that's the most important part. So go to ZBiotics.com/booster. That's ZBiotics.com/booster to get 15% off your first order with code Booster at checkout. It's backed with 100% money back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, which you won't be, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. That's ZBiotics.com/booster and use the code Booster at checkout for that 15% off. Whether you're in college or whether you're old and already got all your knowledge, I'm telling you, drink ZBiotics before you go out and have a good time. You will thank me, maybe even personally on social media. You may even DM me telling you how much you like it. ZBiotics.com/booster. All right, let's get to the Booster Club.
All right, Chad, remember, if you do donate and it's on topic, I will read it immediately. If not, we'll definitely get to it at the end of the show. We're going to start off with Ozeki Andrew. What is up? He says, college football coaching ranks are getting gutted because of the no guardrails on NIL and the transfer portal.
So I see this narrative out there. And is it going to affect some guys? Yes, but we have to stop attributing every time a coach leaves college football now that it's just because college football is just burning down, right? That's not the case. College football coaches getting younger. We talked about this with Jim Nagy yesterday. It's like Jeff Hafley leaves Boston College after surviving this year. Remember, they were talking about firing this guy halfway through the season. Let's not forget that. But he goes 6-6. Boston College says, hey, we still believe you. You look me in the eyes, I'll look you in the eyes. We'll shake hands and be friends for a while. And then he gets a chance to go be a coordinator in the NFL, and he takes the chance. That does not immediately tell me, oh, Jeff Hafley just hated the way college football is going. No, I think it's multiple things. I think Jeff Hafley realized what's going on in the ACC right now. All right, you can maybe use that excuse for what's going on in college football, and we'll see. But I think a lot of it was the pressure he was going to be under next year to deliver for Boston College in a way that would keep his job. You're always coaching for your job, but this next season he was definitely coaching for his job. So Kayla and I think Ryan Grubb being a coordinator and getting a chance to go be a coordinator in the NFL, that doesn't mean that college football is just a disaster and he doesn't want to stay in college football. So will there be some cases of that? Yes, but I don't think there's this huge narrative that everybody's trying to leave college football, right? Just because 90-year-old Kevin Steele went on Feinbaum yesterday and was like, well, I don't remember back when the Model T would go pick up recruit. No, like that, not everybody's going to be like that. So I get what you're saying. I don't think you're totally wrong, but I think we got to set a tribute in everybody that leaves college football to go to the NFL is because college football is awful. It just, Chip Kelly interviews allegedly for the Raiders OC job. Everybody's like, oh, well, Chip Kelly just wants to get out of college football. Chip Kelly almost got fired last year. So let's just take it by circumstance. That's the way I look at it.
All right, let's go to S. Boone. We're going to stay on topic here. Let's get a little transitional roll into this. He says, what is the argument for keeping a talented coordinator in college when there is an NFL opportunity?
Well, it all depends on what the person wants. Like, that's what it depends on. Some guys, I'm telling you, some guys, and this is even more granular, some guys don't want to be head coaches. Some guys do just want to be coordinators. Some guys do want to be head coaches. Some guys want to be head coaches in the NFL. They think, that's where I want to go. That's the ending spot. That's my goal because that's the highest level of football. Some guys want to stay in college, even as much as it's changed. Like you look at a guy like Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley's had many chances to go to the NFL. Hell, they had every NFL team coming down to see Lincoln Riley to learn how he communicates his offense so efficiently with like the basically Morse code that he's doing with his hands. He's had many opportunities, but he wants to stay in college football. It all depends on what the individual wants, right? It's just like you look at Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin's a great example in a more granular level. Lane Kiffin's been the head coach at USC. He's been the head coach at Tennessee. He's the youngest head coach in the NFL history, I believe, with the Raiders. He doesn't want to leave Ole Miss. He is happy and content at Ole Miss. It's a perfect fit for him. So it depends on the individual and the circumstance. We just need to make sure and remember that we're dealing with human beings.
Yeah, what's going on in college football is that more and more guys, because every coach has to make a decision at some point in their career. Do I want to go on an NFL track or do I want to go on a college track? I mean, the Bill O'Briens of the world who flop back and forth every couple years are more rare. Most guys are either NFL guys and let's try our hand, even if we have to take a couple seasons off, I want to be on that level or I want to be a college coach. My biggest fear of what's going on with college football is more and more guys at a younger age are just going to make up their mind to go for the NFL track, right? And then that will affect their career really permanently. The good news is, though, there's only so many NFL jobs, right? Like, there's only so many openings that come available. And two, there's so much money in the college game that even if we lose some of the greatest coaches to the NFL level or to retirement early, there's still going to be plenty of people who want to take those positions. And even if it becomes a younger man's game, you know, that may not be a bad thing to have other guys have opportunities.
I agree.
All right, let's go to Bama Bob. What is up, my brother? He says, all right, fellas, let's be real. Bama would only have Grubb for a year or two anyways. Yeah. He is that good. Kind of rather would get it out of the way now.
See, I disagree with that, though.
Play me Dragonite. Really? Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah,
ahead.
Well, I disagree with that because he's only been there for 2 weeks. I mean, all these other coordinators who have been leaving Nick Saban every year, they usually do it after a championship happens. So you win a national championship, the coordinator leaves, Nick Saban replaces them. I mean, we're like this first couple weeks and this very first season, this is the most important part for Kalen DeBoer to set the foundation of his tenure at Alabama. Now, ultimately, like I said, I don't think it'll be that big of a deal on the field. It's more of an optic standpoint. But the idea that, oh, well, he was going to leave next year anyway, so let's just go ahead and get him out of the way since he's been on campus for 2 weeks. This is the most important season in Kalen DeBoer's life, what's going to happen this next year. And even going 10-2 by a lot of Alabama standards is going to be seen as a failure, even though that's kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You're in the infant stages of the biggest job of your life at Alabama. And Ryan Grubb has been with Kalen DeBoer. He's obviously paid his dues with Kalen DeBoer. Here's what I would say to Alabama fans. You don't have control over it either way. You would obviously want Ryan Grubb for as long as he could possibly be there, but it's not the Titanic sinking if he does leave. And there's one big reason why, David. You're bringing over personnel and you have a quarterback in Jalen Milroe that is a veteran, that is older, that if you were going to have to get away with having a new offensive play caller or a guy that maybe not to the level of Ryan Grubb, no disrespect to anybody else, you for sure don't want that first year to be with a quarterback that has no experience, that may have redshirted or maybe played a couple snaps or something like that. At least Jalen Milroe would be there, who I think is going to be the starting quarterback. That's what Kalen DeBoer kind of inferred when we talked to him yesterday. You don't want to have to clear that hurdle with a guy that's never been there, right? Two guys basically doing it for the first time. But I mean, you obviously want Ryan Grubb for as long as possible. I mean, that's basic. But Bama, Bob, I feel you. I feel what you're saying.
Okay, we can go and say Jalen Milroe's going to start for Alabama next year.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Right? Right? Got to be. David, right?
I don't think there's any other direction you could go. You know, it's like we just talked about with Kalen DeBoer coming in, even if you recognize that, hey, Jalen Milroe doesn't necessarily wouldn't be the guy I would want to run the type of offense in a perfect world here. You have to understand, like, this guy just finished sixth in the Heisman Trophy voting. He already got a lot of his struggles out of the way early last year and grew every single game. This is a great opportunity for Kalen DeBoer to come in and say, you know what? I need to tailor my offensive-minded abilities around a player of his stature and his skill set.
Who we said about Tommy Rees the entire year.
Yeah, the whole year.
So,
whole year.
Like, he finished sixth on the Heisman list. The fact that we're even talking about this blows.
All right, we're going to get back to the Booster Club. Remember, the phone line's open at 7:15 a.m. Grab some merch. We're going to throw the link in the chat as well. Make sure, I know there's a lot of people in the chat. Y'all hit that like button and make sure you are subscribed. TikTok, what's up? Live on TikTok as well. Make sure you subscribe there. Rumble, however you're consuming the Crane & Company, we appreciate it. David, get to a little rapid fire, man. A lot of stuff going on.
Let's do it, man. Someone finally took the Washington Commanders job. Dan Quinn is going to be the new head coach. He was the defensive coordinator with Dallas. Obviously, we remember his time with the Atlanta Falcons. It took him to the Super Bowl, and what was that, Jake? Year two there? That's when the Patriots had the big comeback in that game. Obviously, Dan Quinn has had a lot of success at the NFL level. He's going to be walking into what I believe is a tough situation in Washington, but got early draft picks. They got a young quarterback in Sam Howell. We'll see how he wants to feel about that. And they had a good defense last year. So how do you guys feel about Dan Quinn's ability to turn Washington around?
Well, I think the Washington job is one of the worst in the NFL. And there's a reason I think they missed on a lot of guys. David, here's where I'm at on it. So you fire Ron Rivera, which I understand that move, so you fire an old head that played defense, was a defensive coach, mm-hmm. that has taken your team to the Super Bowl and lost, to hire an old head that's a defensive coach that's taken a team to the Super Bowl and lost. And is coming off one of the most horrific performances or underperformances by a unit that has as much talent as the Cowboys defense has in the playoffs against the Packers. I get firing Ron Rivera, and I like Dan Quinn. I've heard nothing but good things about Dan Quinn, about the way he treats people and the way he treats players. But I just feel like it's the Spider-Man GIF. Like, they're just pointing at each other. Like what did you gain? By firing Ron Rivera and then hiring Dan Quinn, what did you gain? To me, you hired basically the same guy. One's just a little bit bigger than the other. I hope he does well. I know they got, the number two pick? Something like that? The Commanders have?
Commanders, yeah.
And I've seen that Drake May, maybe a guy. I know they have Sam Howell. I know they have some pieces. That organization's been a disaster, thanks to Snyder. But I just don't. Why would you not do something different? You did the same thing.
But what's the problem if you're the Commanders right now? I mean, you have one of the worst defensive rosters in the NFL. So to fix the immediate problem, I understand why you get Dan Quinn. But
had a defensive coach, though.
Yeah, like, but Ron Rivera's been out of it for a minute, man. Ron hasn't been the same since the Panthers went to the Super Bowl.
Dan hasn't been the same since the Falcons went to the Super Bowl.
Dan's been coaching pretty damn good on defense until they played the Lions this year. One of the best defenses in the NFL.
I'm not saying the Cowboys weren't good on defense, but again, if you're tired of eating butter pecan ice cream, you don't stop eating butter pecan ice cream, drive your ass to the store, and buy another bucket of butter pecan ice cream. Like, I just feel like, you're going to draft a quarterback at two? And you're going to bring in Dan Quinn? Supposedly draft a quarterback at two, and you're going to bring in Dan Quinn? I don't get the methodology. I don't understand that Here's what, you know what I think happened? I think they missed on so many guys, they just had to hire Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
That's what I think
happened.
I don't think they had. That's what it looks like to me.
I don't think they had a plan beforehand.
But I mean,
and if you don't have a plan, you could do a lot worse than Dan Quinn. Because there were other franchises who wanted to take another shot on Dan Quinn. I mean, I have the numbers up here. We talked about 8-8 in year one in Atlanta. Then the 11-5 year that got him to the Super Bowl, which I think in large part was because I made the Falcons run out hype video that year. But that's a different story.
And then 10-6
10-6 that next year. And then 7-9, 7-9, and then started 0-5 before he was fired.
I mean, okay, here we go. You went to Dallas and had Micah Parsons and Diggs and all these guys, and y'all still absolutely just got your pants pulled down at the school play in front of God and everybody in the, by the Packers. But this is a settle. You know, this is a, oh my God, I just woke up. I'm 36. I'm not married. I have a good job. I want to have a family. I'm just going to go out there and try and marry the first decent girl that I see. After I've been turned down by every good-looking one that I walk and talk to in the bar.
If there's a positive for the Commanders, I mean, you're seeing a lot of young offensive coordinators have success in the NFL. If you can hit on a good offensive coordinator.
And they're getting hired as head coaches.
I mean, not really.
Or staying in Detroit.
Yeah, but obviously there's still more out there. I mean, if you make the right hire, if you hit on this hire on the offensive coordinator job, Dan Quinn's a good defensive football coach. All right, he's been doing it for a long time. So that defense will be shored up to a certain extent. The real question is two things, all right? Do you go for a quarterback at two, and who's going to be the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Well, it's getting to the Cowboys, that's a discussion for another day. But, you're the head coach, right? So you're not fully in charge of the defense, but you obviously be heavily involved in the defense. It's just a settle to me. That's what it feels like. You just really just changed guys out. It's a very similar resume when you look at it, when you actually look at it, like where these guys came from and you know, how they played, what position they played, and kind of their track. So it just felt like a settle to me.
I can't wait to see what happens at picks 1 and 2. I mean, Chicago and Washington, two franchises with young quarterbacks, Justin Fields, Sam Howell, good players, but like the first two picks aren't passing on Caleb Williams and Drake May. So either they're going to trade back or they're just both going to say, hey, we can't pass on generation.
Trade back, Chicago, trade back.
So we'll see. Dan Quinn's got an early decision to make, just like what Flaming Dragon said. All right, Cliff Kingsbury. You know, he was back from Thailand. He was helping consult with Lincoln Riley and the gang last year. Sounds like he's going to be the offensive coordinator for the Ravens. I think this is a good move for Antonio Pierce. You know, talking about young quarterbacks in the league, Aiden O'Connell out of Purdue got thrust into action early in his career. What do you think Cliff Kingsbury can do there with a young quarterback if it's O'Connell time?
Look, it's like we talked about with Arthur Smith going back to the Steelers. Cliff Kingsbury as a chef, his best dish is offense. As a head coach, he had to control all of it. Obviously, didn't work out very well. I like this hire by Antonio Pierce. It's weird. I feel like the Raiders have made some pretty good hiring decisions the past couple times, and I never thought I'd say that in my life with the Davises running it. But getting a guy like Cliff Kingsbury that understands that has that NFL experience, he can help Aiden O'Connell kind of push him forward. I kind of like that match with what Cliff Kingsbury wants to do, especially with his short to intermediate passing game. I think him and Aiden will really vibe there. Aiden's obviously a football connoisseur, but I do like the hire. I'm glad to see Cliff get back in it. We'll see if he can turn it around and maybe get another shot at a head coaching job after we know what went down with the Cardinals. Just make sure your quarterback's not playing too much Call of Duty. I'm not worried about Aiden doing that.
It was already weird to me for him to get the Cardinals head coaching job a couple years ago, and it didn't work out. But as an offensive coordinator, FD, I think he'll be great with Las Vegas.
It's what he does. That's what he does. I mean, we bring up chefs. There's a head chef, and there's just, you have that one guy that always cooks that dish.
Yeah.
Right? Always cooks that dish, whether it's, I had some crab cakes with some fried green tomatoes and some crawfish sauce the other day at Bluegill. Dave, I want to make sure you tell
Great.
That.
Thank you.
That. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I just wanted you to hear that. It was delicious. But this is what he does, and it's good to see him back. And I want him to be successful, and I thought he was going to be successful with the Cardinals, but I think mixing him and Kyler Murray just wasn't a good cake to bake. So I love the personalities that the Raiders are building.
I know. It just feels like
the Raiders are starting to feel like the Raiders
again,
and that's the first step that needed to get done with these hires. So I love it. And the real question is, You know, how much do we believe in Aiden? How much do we believe in Favre? Aiden O'Connell for the Raiders.
We'll see. Like, he's going to get a shot.
I mean, you're sitting right now at 13. All right. You're in that mix for the Michael Penix, Bo Nix decision.
You need help on defense, man.
I mean, you need help there. You need help on the offensive line. How long is Devontae Adams staying? He's not having a great time. I mean, I love the tight end you got out of Notre Dame.
I like him and Jacoby Myers.
I think he's
going
to be a special piece. But, I mean, is Aiden O'Connell the guy if you're a Raiders fan?
You're one of those unfortunate franchises that needs a little bit of everything in the draft this year. The personalities in the AFC West, I can't wait. Sign me up. All right, three more things here.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Three more things here. Peter Thiel, who co-founded PayPal back in the day, is leading a group of venture capitalists to fund the Enhanced Games. This is going to be Olympic-style competition that allows performance-enhancing drugs. And I'm just wondering, when it says venture capitalists,
yes,
are you included in that flaming dragon? Have you known about this?
Look,
I'm so happy for you, dog.
I've been screaming for this for years, okay? For years. Let's push humans to the limit.
Let's see.
Right? I want to see how far we can go, all right? I want to see how fast. You think Usain Bolt's fast? Let him do steroids.
Yeah.
All right? He's out running cheetahs. All right, but I still to this day, MLB, please, please, I beg. Everybody wants to see someone throw at 110 miles per hour. All right, I want to see a guy hit it 600 feet. This is what the people want. If they won't do it, somebody else should.
We'll do it.
Somebody else should. It should be baseball and hockey basically mixed together. Let them fight. Let them do steroids. The MLB will be gone in 5 years.
All right, look, I've kind of got a theory on this. David, I was thinking about this. Is this how we find our first superhero? Is this how it happens? Like this is like, does this not have just superhero origin story written all over it? Like, oh yeah, you know, Greg, he decided he wanted to do the Enhanced Olympics. We pumped him, you know, pumped his guts full of testosterone and whatever else goes into it. And then all of a sudden he's climbing up the side of a skyscraper, you know, throwing a villain off the top of it. Like all of a sudden, you know, he's jumping like in from building to building, and then you look up, oh my God, Spider-Man.
How many records do you think are going to get broken?
You have to put those records like in their own category.
No,
they have to be
sure.
Like the,
yeah, I'm fine with
you
that.
Can't compare that to like normal unenhanced human, mm-hmm. or like we have in the Olympics now, kind of enhanced human.
Well, let me tell you why I hate this on principle is because like, And for, like, we'll use the term performance-enhancing drugs, but I'm all for taking whatever enhances your performance as long as it doesn't harm your body long-term. So we're putting a lot of trust in medical personnel here, which I know is a dangerous thing to do. But let's just say it's an absolute fact that whatever these guys are going to put in their bodies harm their health moving forward. I hate that conceptually just because the idea of being a great athlete and all the way back to the Greek and Roman times is, you know, you're setting yourself up and your body to be in its most peak form, right? Like that's what we want from our athletes. I hate telling our young kids in order to play at the professional level or to be in peak athletic form, to even compete, you have to put something in your body that's going to harm you long-term. That's just how I feel about the concept of any dangerous performing enhancing drugs. But from a business standpoint, Peter Thiel is the ultimate libertarian, so it makes sense that he's leading this charge. From a business standpoint, this is the best way to do it, right? To have a separate league where everyone knows what's going on, so it's not in secret, and let the guys who want to do that to their body go compete separately. Don't confuse it with the Olympics. Don't mix it with the Olympics. And don't bring it to the professional sports leagues like NFL, MLB, NBA, but have a section of society where that's welcome, right?
Yeah, get your fix. Like, that's where you can get your fix.
Yeah.
If you're somebody like Flaming Dragon, you want to see him take steroids. Here's my question before we move on. I know we got to move on. The World's Strongest Man competition. You know, you like turn on ESPNU and there's some huge Swedish guy that's carrying a boulder from like one pillar to the other. It's like pulling a train with his ass or whatever it is. Like, don't they use steroids?
I don't know. Do they?
I mean,
They got
a shot in hell. They don't.
Yeah, they've got. Look at them. Their heads get bigger as I'm watching them. Like, there's no way they don't use steroids. So you and remember that Schwarzenegger documentary? who he said when they stopped letting him use steroids, how like nobody really wanted to go to the shows anymore. So they let him start using steroids again for like, you know, Mr. Olympia or whatever. And they're over there doing their little stretches and flexes or whatever. Like,
no, I'm
people will love it. I'll watch. I'll watch that.
Nobody's watching baseball. Nobody's watching baseball.
No, don't put steroids.
Nobody's
in
watching baseball.
Baseball.
No, I'm saying this. You don't have to. That's fine.
Just make your own
but
league.
You will get the MLB will get mopped.
The XLB
they will get mopped if someone starts a baseball league. Okay, with guys who can use metal bats, steroids, and let them fight.
I like that.
Well, this
people
is
sell out arenas.
This is what you get when you let the free market do its thing. So it is going to be fascinating, and we're going to keep up with it. Two more things here. We talked about the news a year ago when Alabama baseball coach Brad Bohannon allegedly had informed a friend that Alabama's starting pitcher was going to be out and he needed to place a bet. This went under investigation and Brad Bohannon was fired. Now there's more details out on it, Jake, even to the point where the transcripts are reading, hey, student athlete A is out for sure. Let me know when I can tell the opposing team, hurry. Was that a text he sent to the guy?
Yeah, so this is, and I'm reading this literally from the negotiated resolution. It's got the case number, all this stuff on it. So apparently, former Alabama head baseball coach, Brad Bohannon, knew that his starting pitcher going up against LSU, remember LSU's like number one team in the country. I think Paul Skeens, who was the number one overall pick, was pitching for him. So, Bama's pitcher, so your Friday night guy, wasn't going to be able to pitch. So they were going to have to put another guy in there. Bohannon texted his bettor and said, hammer LSU. Student athlete one is out for sure. Let me know when I can tell LSU, hurry. So this is where this is very deep. This is very, very bad. Like this is so much. This is almost Kayshon Boutte 01 as your DraftKings or Sportsbet book username, whatever it was. Like this is that level of bad. He told the guy to bet it before he gave the new lineup card, which had they scratched the pitcher before he even told LSU. Because the minute he tells LSU and his public information, that line's going to change. So he wanted to get that bet in before LSU knew that the pitcher wasn't going to pitch, which meant that everybody else knew the pitcher wasn't going to pitch, which was going to change the line. So, I mean, this was a very, very organized and egregious situation. So he got a 15-year show cause, right? 15-year show cause. And if somebody does want to hire him during this show cause, he has to sit out 5 regular seasons. He's done. You were caked anyway after this, especially with this info that's coming out. But goodness gracious, it's worse than what I thought. I thought the man said on the way up there, hey, we're playing LSU. They're really good. We've watched the tape. I would bet LSU. That's what I do. Not, hey, one of my guys is hurt. Nobody else knows. Before the information gets out there and the line changes, hammer LSU. I mean, goodness
you
gracious.
You can't come back from that.
You were in deep. You were Donnie Brasco, man.
I mean, that's messed up. I'm just more pissed off he didn't text me.
Nobody would have ever
I could have used this information. I'd have thrown a stack down with you, but you know how big of a POS you have to be.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Like, this is low-down, dirty, sewage rat behavior.
Yeah, especially if you got people that are betting, not even just to the Alabama players, Alabama fan base. You got people that are actually betting out there straight up. Like, straight up.
Yeah.
With their, like, betting, trying to, so, man, you screwed everybody. And you didn't tell us, so we're extra super pissed.
It's so different, but go ahead, Dave.
I just think about the players on the team, man. I would be so enraged. Or if that was my kid playing on that team, he'll never coach again. You can't coach again after that.
No. You better start selling insurance or something, buddy. Mm. Better learn how to speak Korean.
All right, last one up here. There is an official statement now from Danny White. Give me 1 second. Excuse me. Sorry, mid-sneeze there. Yeah, we're going to try this.
Get it
again.
Out, Papa
big man.
Bear.
Get it out.
That's a mid-sneeze. Father of three. Yeah. That's strong man's cough.
Even on live TV, we'll do take two here, okay? Official statement from Tennessee Athletic Director Danny White. They're now suing the NCAA, which is just, it's fantastic. Do you want to read a little bit of this statement that Tennessee put out?
There's statements, and then there's taking a flamethrower to something. Danny White, Tennessee athletic director, brother of Georgia head basketball coach Mike White, right? Mm. Very, you know, his father was an AD, I believe, or a coach as well, is absolutely standing on business right now for Tennessee. All right, listen to this statement. This is an official statement from the athletic director. And we know typically official statements are like,
can we clip that?
NCAA speak, just Justine, can we clip absolute it? BS that's not honest or genuine. This is from the heart. He got some hate in his heart in this one.
Okay.
And I love it. Here he goes, Danny White. The NCAA generally does not comment on infractions cases because there's a rule against it. However, that has not stopped them in the past from leaking information to the media, as they did this week about us. Their actions made this ill-conceived investigation public and forced us to defend ourselves. It is clear that the NCAA staff does not understand what is happening at the campus level all over the country in the NIL space. After reviewing thousands of Tennessee coach and personnel phone records, NCAA investigators didn't find a single NIL violation. So they moved the goalpost to fit a predetermined outcome. They are stating that the nebulous, contradictory NIL guidelines written by the NCAA, not the membership, don't matter, and applying the old booster bylaws to collectives. Last sentence here. If that's the case, then 100% of the major programs in college athletics have significant violations. Mm. Just dropped a truth bomb on them. This wasn't a we're not going to comment. This isn't a we don't agree, but we don't want to get into a tit and tat back and forth. This is you guys are full of it. I know you're full of it. You know you're full of it. Everybody else knows you're full of it. So I'm just going to blast you on social media. Good for Danny White, and he's 100% correct. And before anybody sits there and says, oh, this is Tennessee just saying, oh, everybody's doing it, so we shouldn't get in trouble. No, there were no rules before this. They're getting retroactively punished for rules that didn't exist, written by the people that are punishing them. Instead of doing what I said and saying, you know what, Febreze Brothers, fresh start, clean slate. We didn't have rules that came out with NIL. We're not going to punish anybody retroactively or anything like that. I love it. I love the transparency here by Danny White. And in this case, this isn't being butthurt. He is 100% correct. And there's more schools' names that are coming out there. So before you point and laugh and cast stones, they're coming for you next. They're coming for you. It's like they say about the border. They may be coming through Texas and Arizona right now, but eventually they're going to make their way up. And they're going to find you. And then we're going to find out.
There's more schools coming. And for the Tennessee fans out there who sided with the NCAA against Michigan, or they sided with the NCAA against Mason Smith's case at LSU, you need to sit down and shut up. I don't want to hear anything from those Tennessee fans. You can't even stand up and defend yourself right now. Sit down. And these other schools that are coming out, you know, I'm going to say the same thing about some of them too. But, you know, the Alston case and the O'Bannon case, we were talking about this with Jim Cavalli a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, it clearly said, okay, the NCAA can't prohibit student athletes from capitalizing on their name, image, and likeness. But the NCAA still had these holdover rules, right, Jake? That was like, okay, well, boosters still cannot be involved in the recruitment of a college athlete. That was sort of like how they wanted to keep NIL from becoming pay for play. Again, I understand the NCAA trying to uphold these guard rules and some of their rails, some of these guardrails that we've talked about and some of their rules. But again, we've talked about this ad nauseum, the picking and choosing of when to enforce these things and not updating the language, as far as I can tell, not updating the language in those rules.
Not at all.
Constitutes a violation after you lost those cases. That's what I don't understand. And Tennessee knowingly broke rules to gain an advantage. Maybe Michigan did the same thing. But again, the language is so vague. How do we know that Tennessee hasn't operated in some sort of gray area here? And the NCAA is trying to punish them through the court of public opinion without even issuing a statement of wrongdoing.
No, I'm with you 100%. Like James Carville said on Old School, that was perfect. That was perfect. But we just got our coffee. Hadn't had one yet this morning.
Oh, my God. This morning.
David, we see you sitting in Nashville just sipping your delicious cup of coffee. But look, even though we're on the road, though we may not have some Black Rifle right now, we're going to get it when we get back.
I miss it.
That's the best way to wake up. And they fuel the Daily Wire every morning. Not only do they have ready-to-drink cans for people that have an up-tempo offense lifestyle, all right, they also have a coffee subscription that gives you the chance to purchase limited edition flavors. All right, some of our favorite, Gunship, Power Llama, again, the bag is deep. We're getting ready for the Flaming Dragon one. All right, we know eventually Black Rifle is going to figure it out and get that Flaming
Dragon.
It's
in the works, dude.
Stop saying it's in the works.
These things take time.
You keep saying it's in the works. It's not in the works.
Take time. You don't know if it's in the works or not.
I know it's not in the works. That's what I do know. But I also know Black Rifle Coffee is a veteran-founded coffee company that's operated by principled men and women who honor those who protect, defend, and support our country. And with every purchase you make, they give back. So save money and drink America's coffee. Go to blackriflecoffee.com. Use promo code Booster at checkout for 10% off your one-time purchase. That's blackriflecoffee.com. Use promo code Booster at checkout for 10% off your one-time purchase or first coffee club order. You love the show. You love us. You love great coffee. You love America. God, you're going to love Black Rifle. That's right up your alley. But all right, David, I want to get back to the Booster Club in a second, but I just for 1 millisecond have to say what Blaine was talking about last night while we were out to dinner.
Oh, with California Dreaming last night? Okay, there it is. There it is. There it is. See?
You know what? Go to the Booster Club. Go to the Booster Club. No, we'll go back. We'll go back to it later. No, now the suits are messed up. We'll do it later.
Okay, fine. We'll go to the Booster Club. We're going to start it off with tactical Matt Foley. He is tactical, I'll tell you that. He says, how many other teams have filed lawsuits against the NCAA overnight?
I think there's a lot that are going to be made public here in the next couple of days because they know what's coming down the pipe. These people talk. We know that Virginia has. They joined it with Tennessee. I think you are going to see – right now I know of two other SEC teams I think that names are about to drop. A Big Ten team that is a humongous brand. But here's what's the problem with the NCAA. You're not winning this. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and tell you. And I forgot which coach came out and said it, but he's 100% correct. It's like, you're not going to win any of these lawsuits where you're trying to take NIL privileges away from the players. You're going to lose those in general, even if it was just Tennessee versus you. But now all of a sudden, we saw that, and this is the crazy part, and this is what I wanted to get to. We see Georgia come along and Ohio State come along and these other big dogs come along and they pile on you. Now they're going to bury you underneath the jail is what's going to happen. And I saw something yesterday, got an update on my phone. The NCAA made $2 billion worth of revenue in like from 2022 to 2023, something insane like that. Y'all are the dumb. Y'all have got to be the dumbest ass people I have ever seen in my life. Just, you know those people that are so smart, but they're really stupid? Like the person who can figure out like halfway the cure to cancer, but doesn't look when they cross both ways and gets hit by a dump truck. Like that type of person. Like I feel like those are the type of people that work at the NCAA. Y'all are the dumbest smart people of all time. It's just the truth.
Yeah, look, I agree.
I'll say this. They're walking into uncharted territory.
Well, you're walking into the lion's den,
you just pulled up. You just sailed your ship up to some uncharted territory. You think you're about to walk in here and run the land, and next thing you know, there's 500 people with spears coming out of trees in Georgia. And the worst thing for the NCAA that could happen
is
the coalition of really good teams coming together to go against them in college football. You're not going to beat Georgia, Ohio State, Tennessee, Virginia. You're not. The NCAA reminds me of Congress people who don't have term limits. Who are like 96
tenure,
who are like 96 years old and just won't leave. You're doing insider trading. We all know you're doing it, and you just let it happen. It's time to send the NCAA down the river.
Put them on the raft. Put them down the river. Also, the phone lines are open, 1-855-236-3228. We're going to get to calls here in about 11 minutes, but I want to stay in the Booster Club.
Let's go to PLL Super Fan Forever. What is up, my guys? He says, do you guys know the Quinn won a Super Bowl? And okay, he said seat low. I don't think Rivera has ever won a super as a coordinator or a head coach. Did Dan Quinn win as a coordinator?
As a coordinator, I want to say that I don't know if it was a coordinator, maybe as an assistant coach, maybe as a linebackers coach and a co-DC. Well, let's look that up. That may be a slight difference, though, but my comparison was as head coaches. That's what I'm looking at. If you have a resume as a, like Jeff Levy at Mississippi State, I don't know. Like, he hasn't been a head coach yet. We don't know. But Dan Quinn's been a head coach. Ron Rivera's been a head coach. So those are the common denominators. So that's what I compare. I'm not going to compare what happened when you were a coordinator and not the head coach when you're taking over as the head coach. So I want to keep the comparisons as parallel as possible. But I see what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. There are obviously some differences, you know, when they weren't head coaches. But I want to make those comparisons ideology-wise, what they believe in, methodology-wise, and then what they did as head coaches.
Yeah, so
one thing here,
in Dan Quinn's first season as defensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks, they led the league in fewest points allowed, fewest yards allowed, and takeaways with 231 to become the first team since the 85 Chicago Bears to accomplish this feat. And that Seahawks team went on to win the Super Bowl over the Denver Broncos 43-8. That's why he got the Falcons head coaching job and then took the Falcons to the Super Bowl in his second year.
That was his launching pad. That's right.
All right, let's go to Nate Lavelle. We'll get back to you, bro. Drew, he says, who at the NCAA profits from those billions? Is this like a Federal Reserve type situation?
You know, that's a great question. If you look, there is revenue that is obviously given to the universities through the TV rights. When it comes to the NCAA and the NCAA sanctioned events, I'm not even talking about, you know, that like Auburn's home game versus, you know, Georgia or something like that. Auburn's going to get a lot of that gate. It's the ticket sales, right? For you know, are they getting a portion of that for, like, you know, obviously they're getting it for March Madness, right? In the bowl games or anything where it's in an NCAA tournament or format or like the College World Series and stuff like that. What I'd be interested to see is how the revenue is shared throughout individual teams' gates. Like, if just use Auburn, for example, if Auburn sells out Neville Arena, right, the basketball arena, what portion of that, because you would think there'd have to be a kickback, right, David? There's got to be some percentage that is going to the NCAA, because the NCAA is providing the, you know, scorekeepers and referees and things like that. So there's got to be some sort of, we need to look into that. That's a great question.
Yeah, I mean, the NCAA, it's great to have a governing body when you have all of these different sports, right, and sports at different levels. I think the, you know, football separating from all of the other sports is got to happen first and foremost. And then after that happens, the, like, different divisions within the game. Take the top 35 teams who are all, you know, using the most money when it comes to NIL or when it comes to paying coaches, whatever their salary cap is, and put that in the very top tier of college football and have them compete against each other. Then the second tier, then the third tier, then the fourth tier. And I think that's the only way that you can really move forward so that we don't have situations where, like we just talked about, Jeff Hafley at Boston College is having to try and vie against Alabama for one of the top 12 spots in the country, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Maximum Vol. What is up, my brother? He's going through it right now. Hashtag ask Crane and Company. What realistically happens if the NCAA crumbles this month, especially with March Madness coming up?
Well, look, here's what I'll say. I believe that there's a plan in place when the NCAA does detach, because I think they eventually will, from the highest level of college football, maybe college football in general. This wouldn't be a, oh my God, you know, Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti and all these guys, that there wouldn't be or Boo Corrigan and all them, that there would not be some sort of panic moment of, oh, we don't have a replacement. This is like medieval times, right? If you know a king is dying or you want to take out a king, you already have a replacement plan in place. You know what your next move is. Say the king dies the next morning. So you're not going into this blind. I think they've been making these moves for a long time. They know it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when the NCAA detaches. So I don't think there will be just absolute pandemonium. I think you will still have a college football playoff committee. I think you'll have almost a commission, at least I hope, of the top people in the sport, right? The Greg Sankeys, people like that, the commissioners coming together to form kind of a round table of what's going on. You obviously have the media rights people that are involved because they have to be. I just think what you'll see is a shift in, not necessarily in power, because the shift in power I think is already happening, but there's a plan in place. There will be a commission or a head guy appointed, whether that be Greg Sankey, whoever that may be. They have a plan in place, I promise you.
All right, let's go to Broken Devil Dog. What is up, my guys? It should have been eye-opening back when it was Michigan. There was a leak twice every day. But, geez, I guess people just love their precious SEC schools.
Well, it's again, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think it's SEC or Big Ten or whatever. I think it's the highest levels of college football getting pissed off because they're not getting notice of allegations. What they're getting are articles written in Yahoo and stuff because the NCAA is just running their mouth behind closed doors and trying to get ahead of who they're going up against without any sort of acknowledgement to the people they're going after. I mean, imagine if you, the individual, right? If the police were going to do something to you and arrest you, and instead of them sending a cop to your house to arrest you, or are you finding out, hey, there's a search warrant for your house, you open up your local paper and it's basically an article written by the most credible journalist who just talked to the police chief basically saying you're guilty. That's what it is to me. Like it's a play. It's a plan. That's the problem with it. It's not a Michigan thing. It's not an SEC thing. It's an NCAA versus college football thing. We don't have to be so tribal. If you're a Michigan fan or a Tennessee, this isn't a conference pissing contest. All right, this is the NCAA versus college football. That you can't turn this into, well, this is just means more versus the.
I see it's a lot different because it's not during the season.
Yeah, like, that was bad. That's what made it doubly bad. But there were a lot of people who were willing to point at Michigan and call them cheaters and print headlines at certain networks and say, this sign stealing and you're a bunch of cheaters and stuff. And those same people now want to say, well, this isn't Tennessee against the NCAA. This is all of college football against the NCAA. So fans like that guy who's writing a question said, well, where was all of college football when Michigan needed support? Thankfully, they found it on this show, though. Yeah. So.
Where everybody has their allegiances. Like, look, like it's almost like Fox News, CNN, you got SEC Network, all these other places. They're going to die on the hill of their conference.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I love being at where we're at is that we're not beholden to anybody. Like, we're not over here having to gas one side up, you know, because we have to, because we're connected to the Southeastern Conference, or like we're Fox and connected to the Big Ten. I'm just gonna tell you what I think. Like, I don't care if it's Bama. I don't care if it's the team I root for. If it's Bama, whatever. We're just going to tell you what we really think. And that's why this show works.
So, yeah, we got a couple of questions here. What are the alleged violations? I've heard rumors. Go ahead and finish that, Dave.
I was just going to say one thing that won't be happening is Greg Sankey suspending Josh Heupel the way that Tony Petitti suspended Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, he actually gave him a raise.
That won't be happening.
Yeah.
But Jake,
he sent him a gift basket of gold bars.
Can you fill people in on what's going on with Tennessee's collective and how the booster was related to the collective when it came to Nico Iamalava's recruitment?
Yeah. So the first thing you have to understand, just to keep this in like kind of the simplest terms, is that this isn't a Tennessee employee that the NCAA is going and saying this coach illegally contacted a player, or this employee illegally did this, or they did that. They're going after Tennessee's NIL collective that is one of the many collectives that the Spire group has. And basically what they're saying is, in the recruitment of Nico Lamalavea, I know I said that wrong. I'm excited to watch the kid grow and play in the SEC, but his last name, I'm just going to have to call him Nico. They were basically saying there was improper use of jets, the booster letting him do things during his recruitment through the collective. That's what it basically is. And if that's the case, and that's what you're going after Tennessee for, that's why when Donda Plowman put out that statement that she put out, she said this isn't even about a Tennessee employee. That's a big caveat, right? Because it's a booster that is connected or had donated or was in partnership with the collective. So if that's the case, and you're going after Tennessee for that, then you are, just like AD Danny White just said, you are going to have to go after every major program in the country, because what do you think they've been using the collectives for? Because you didn't give them any rules. Like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever. So I know I'm just getting inordinately upset about it the more I think about it, because it's so stupid. Because you're going to have to go get everybody now. Danny White's 100% correct. You have to go get everybody, and you're going to lose that. You're going to lose that, all right? It's true. Why don't you go hang out on Moron Mountain? How about y'all do that? How about y'all all get together and go hang out on Moron Mountain or Dumbass Boulevard or wherever y'all are supposed to be? This is just the stupidest thing ever. And it could have been avoided. Y'all could have helped save y'allself for a little bit longer. I don't know. Maybe it's a suicide mission by the NCAA. The more I look at this, maybe they're just over with it. Is that what it is? Is it just a, hey, man, look, Gene Hackman, we can't go get Owen Wilson in the beefy chair.
This your first plane ride?
Yeah.
No, it's my last. All right, it's got a patch. He says, if the NCAA were smarter about the money, NIL would have been a program they initiated decades ago with their fingers in the pie.
Yeah, you lost me at smart. That's where that it's yeah, and this should have been done a long time ago, and it could have been the rules could have been built in and everything like that. Remember, we will read those donations at the end if they're not on topic. All right, one more, and then let's go to calls.
Let's go to Bradley D. He wants to know: aren't refs handled through the conference and not through the NCAA?
I believe so. They have to be NCAA certified to be able to call NCAA games. Now, when it comes down to who pays them. I know you obviously have your conference affiliation. That's why you see in bowl games, hey, it's a Mountain West crew that's doing this game or whatever. But you have to be certified by the NCAA. So there is a process where they have to interact, obviously, with the NCAA, and then they go to these meetings where they're updated on the rules because they are enforcing the rules, right, that the NCAA has. There's no different rules for SEC and college football and then Pac-12, right? The rules are the same. But as far as who pays their salaries, I believe it's the conference that pays the salary. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I do know the NCAA is involved with the officials because they have to be. It's a good question.
All right, you want another one?
Let's get to calls.
All right.
All right, let's go to William in Alabama. William, how you doing?
Will,
what's up, buddy?
Good morning, guys.
Will, what is going on?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Nothing much. Just hanging out on a Flaming Dragon Friday. It's your friendly neighborhood youth pastor back.
Welcome back, brother.
And we love you to see
it. Welcome. It's a beautiful Flaming Dragon Friday.
Yes. If you ever start accepting applications for a Booster Club chaplain, just let me know.
You got it.
Well, look, hey, just say it's. Give me your favorite verse. Favorite verse out of the Bible.
Oh, do you want my actual favorite verse? Or do you want a cheesy one?
Your actual favorite.
Be real with him, son.
It's got to be Romans 8:28.
Okay, you're hired. Okay. Booster Club chaplain. Let's get it, baby.
We needed one.
William, you got it. You're in.
All
Sister
right,
Riggs, remember that.
Hey,
we'll Queen Riggs,
so many
remember
morning
that.
Devotions, it'll make your head spin.
God, I'm already right, devoted.
I'm a big prayer breakfast guy.
I feel you. So what I actually wanted to talk about is, you know, I'm a big hockey fan, but I'm also a big disc golf fan. And I wanted to talk to you guys about the ongoing Natalie Ryan situation. I think you've heard about that before.
Yeah. Yep.
And so this past season, this dude named Natalie started suing the PDGA, which is the governing body of disc golf, and the Disc Golf Pro Tour, which is the league, in every state that they could. So California, Minnesota, and of course, all his lawyers were working pro bono, and the PDGA and the Pro Tour kept having to pay lawyers, and they ran out of money. So,
they just bled them.
Just bled them out. And so what they did is they established something they called the United Series. So essentially, Natalie could play in every state where they had laws where they could sue the league. But in every other state where those laws didn't exist, he still couldn't play. And that is the settlement that they reached.
That's a loss. Here's what I find the most fascinating, Will, is that you know why you haven't seen this? In like college basketball, why there hasn't been a dude that's gone in like high level women's college basketball and just yamming on everybody, shout out Lady Ballers, or that you haven't seen a male volleyball player, right? One tried to sneak into Washington, but they caught him. because our softball, women's softball, why there hasn't just been some like Tommy Tanks girl version go to softball and just absolutely hitting it through the fence, is because if they do any of the most, and this, I'm not trying to knock any of these periphery sports, but I think we have to live in reality to attack this situation. If a man pretending to be a woman went and did any of those major sports, it would shine such a big light on how unfair it was. It would eliminate all of it. I think maybe the best thing that could happen is if that does happen, but you know where they get away with it, where you can get away with it? On the periphery sports, disc golf. Mm-hmm.
And I'll have to give disc golf credit in the players. Cycling. The female players, they have been protesting this to no degree, doing press conferences. They've been trying to get as much spotlight on this as possible. But, you know, what can you do when you have a sport that's growing, growing exponentially, but it's just not to that mainstream level yet?
You can't. There's nothing you can do right now, like other than just not play. If all the girls just boycott, that's the only way.
Go play in those states.
But the only I'm telling you, the minute, and they won't allow it. Because we tried to do it. The minute somebody, a grown man, goes and plays a women's college basketball game or a WNBA game, and is just going bananas, it all stops. I think they're afraid for that to happen, because if that does happen, like that's why you see this LPGA thing is really ruffling a lot of fans, because they're getting closer. It's like when those Tootsie Pops, like you're getting close to the middle, and once you get to the middle, it's gone.
Even on the periphery.
That's the way I think. Thank you, William.
Can you imagine making the financial investment to start a league in a sport that you love, and you're trying to grow it, trying to get more eyeballs on it, and then you say, like, no, we have two different divisions. We have a men's division and a women's division, and then legally you can't even do anything because they've just bled you dry and they force men to play in the women's sport. I mean, it's like if you wanted to start a boxing league and you were forced to allow heavyweights like Mike Tyson to fight down against featherweights, and you couldn't do anything in the sport and in the league that you have created and invested in. It makes me sick.
Yeah. William, thanks,
and
brother.
Here's the funny thing.
Mr. Club Chaplin, we appreciate you. Oh, go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead, Will. Did we lose him?
All right, let's move on. Let's go to Adam in Washington. Adam, how you doing?
What's up, boys? I just had a couple of Senior Bowl questions. I was seeing some articles online that one said Bo Nix's draft stock is going down because he declared Oregon and Auburn. Can you explain that to me and why that would happen?
Look, number one, he declared it on our on our show. So, you know, that one kind of went nuts, a little viral yesterday on Bleacher Report and On Three. And it was a great question by David. If your draft stock's going down for that, to be honest, the way he answered that, I think his draft stock should go up.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm going to be honest with you. Like, look, I understand how important being able to, you know, and Bo Nix is a great, question
professional
answer. Like very, very professional at not rocking the boat while not being too just, you know, milk toast in the answers.
Yeah.
But like, here's the thing. What I care about is what your teammates think about you. How much football do you know? And when I watch you run around with that pigskin and throw it, how does it look? And how good is your decision making on the field? If you have a draft stock dropping because somebody said that they claimed two different schools because they played at two different schools, including one they graduated from, I think you're overthinking it, bud. I think y'all may need to get out of that room with all 80 of y'all looking at each other and just talking to each other into crazy things. So look,
people will write anything these days, man. Yeah. Journalism's dead.
It is.
It's
really
dead.
Is.
I guarantee there's not a scout in a room.
No.
Who's like, you know what? We're not going to take Bo Nix.
He either picks Oregon or Auburn.
Auburn and Oregon.
Those are the people who are like, hey, I can tell you how much money you have by the way you order food off a menu. No, you can't.
Yeah.
Like, well, what?
Yeah, on that same note, I did see some other articles unrelated to him declaring Oregon and Auburn, but just saying that his draft stock was falling in general at the Senior Bowl and that he wasn't showing out. And I saw that for a couple of quarterbacks, too. I just wanted to see what did you guys see on the field, and like what was the quarterback situation looking like, especially for Bo Nix?
Well, you know, again, there's a lot of variables that are going on for every player that comes to the Senior Bowl. But I think the quarterbacks have it the hardest, right? Not naturally because it's the most difficult position to play, but you haven't been able to build up any rapport with these wide receivers, right? So you're losing time because you're having to react later to guys getting in and out of breaks because you're not, you don't have that built in. You don't know kind of how they move, and you're used to the tempo at which they run routes, whether they're covered or whether it's on air. I think there's been a little bit of nervousness with the quarterbacks too. But to be honest with you, there really hasn't been one of the quarterbacks that I've looked at and been like, man, this guy has just had an incredible Senior Bowl. He's really unbelievably lifted himself away. You got one in mind?
I think Spencer Rattler.
I think Spencer's done well, but I thought Spencer was fine coming into this. Yeah. We were one of the few shows, and we talked to Spencer after practice yesterday.
Yeah.
We're going to release that down the road.
Other than that, it really hadn't been a great showing from the quarterbacks.
No, but it's hard to get into that rhythm with new wide receivers. So, it's obviously a big deal. You want to come here and put your best foot forward, but you still have your pro day. We still have the combine and things like that. So I wouldn't get too far down on Bo Nix yet.
Yeah.
I tell you, the more I look at it, that Broncos, you talking about him going to the Broncos, it's making...
I like that.
Make a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of good situations that he could go to. I think the Broncos is one. I, as a Seahawks fan, was thinking that David Cone was not far off with having him sit behind Geno for a year or two. You know, I think that'd be a good situation.
Why not send him to Minnesota, sit behind Kirk for a year or two?
I think all three of those situations could be great. Yeah. I think I would even give the nod to Denver. Imagine being paired up with Sean Payton as a quarterback developer and play caller.
What do you think about a Bo Nix Baker Mayfield comp?
I've always liked that comp.
I don't think it's super far off. I think it's more from what, to be honest with you, I've seen Jake Browning, kind of the way he plays.
I think we're just really underselling Bo's running ability. He's a lot better runner than Jake Browning. I like the Sam Howell's better.
Sam Howell to me is a pretty good runner.
Joe Burrow. Baker can move.
But Bo can run.
I wouldn't say Joe Burrow yet. I wouldn't go there.
Yeah, but Bo Nix may be more accurate than all of them, though, which is going to give him a chance.
All right, one last question, boys.
We're going to see.
One last question, if that's all right. Who do you think will end the season top three in the Big Ten? And what do you think Oregon's chances are for beating Ohio State at Autzen Stadium?
Look, I mean, Oregon's always going to be able to put up a good fight. I think Ohio State's going to be the best team in the Big Ten. I tend to hold back on predictions until the end of fall camp for multiple reasons. One, I need to know who wins what job. I need to know who's hurt. And with the transfer portal, I need to know who's on what roster, to be honest with you. I would put Ohio State right now one. I think Oregon is the team that it's going to be the easiest to translate to the Big Ten, even though you are losing your quarterback. But you do bring in Dillon Gabriel. So I think Oregon, it's not crazy to slide them in the top three. I don't think that'd be crazy at all. Who that other team would be, we'll see with Penn State and Drew Aller with a new offensive coordinator. It's going to be interesting to follow for sure.
No. All right. Thank you, boys.
Thank you, Adam. Man. Appreciate it, man. All right. Let's go to Chris in Birmingham, Alabama. Chris, how you doing?
Hey, how are you guys?
205, baby.
Good, man.
What's up, buddy?
Hey. So this is the second day I've listened to you guys, and I'm loving the show.
Appreciate it.
Do y'all ever talk NASCAR?
Man, you know, you're like the third person that has asked me. Do we need to start? Here's what we'll do. We talked some F1, by the way. Did you see Lewis Hamilton?
Yeah, I was going to let Dave.
Yeah, Lewis David. I know Dave's
that's... our
Why would he do that? Is that like a bucket list thing?
I don't know. Maybe that's just like the retirement home for drivers. Now, it's not going to start until 2025. But, man, I guess that means Carlos Sainz is out. You're not moving on from Charles Leclerc. So that whole situation is about to get very intense. I can't wait to catch up on Drive to Survive. But in terms of NASCAR, I mean, we have to be Chase Elliott fans, right? Because of the Hooters connection. That's what
we got to be. We got to be.
Yeah.
Well, so, Chris, we'll start throwing some...
Who's your driver?
Okay.
Chris?
There we go. Who's your guy?
Kyle Larson all day, every day.
Kyle Larson?
All day, every day.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
God, it's larceny out there.
I don't talk NASCAR a lot, but I've been to Dega about three times.
Yeah.
You want to talk
I've never
about,
been. I want to
You
go.
Want to
I want
talk
to be in
about
the middle.
A good time now.
Yeah, woo-hoo. And I want to be in the middle. Chris, we'll start throwing some NASCAR stuff in rapid fire for you, my friend. We appreciate you. Spread the word.
Hey, sweet. Thanks, man. Y'all have a good day.
Hold down Birmingham for us, Chris.
You too,
brother. Call in again soon, man. All right, let's go to Brian in Boston. Brian, what's up?
Oh, our guy.
Yeah. What's going on, B-Rye.
What's up, man?
I think the chaplain forgot to mention that disc golf league airs on Wednesday nights live on ESPN 8, The Ocho.
Yeah.
You can read about it in Obscure Sports Quarterly.
Obscure Sports Quarterly, for sure.
Yeah.
We're
not going to mix them
absolutely.
Together.
Yeah, so, we're not going to mix them together.
I wanted to jump in because of Flaming Dragon talking about the desire to see more steroids and more, performance enhancers in sports. And I actually want to go the exact opposite route with that. I'm one of these that I'd rather watch a guy try and leg out a triple in baseball than go back to the dugout and light up a smoke like the old days. Like, get these guys off of the extra weights, the weight room, all that stuff. Like, you
wanted to go back to like.
You want to see worse baseball players. That's what you want to see.
You know,
they're better baseball players, though.
I want to see.
Brian, like, part of me, though, like. In baseball, I'm with you, right? Baseball, I'm with you. Like, part of me, like, gets what he's saying. I feel like that'll make. Because it's unbelievably hard. Baseball's unbelievably hard, right? Especially hit a 90 mile per hour fastball. But, like, there's something about. Watching those old clips in baseball, not basketball. I love watching guys jump from the free throw line and yama jama jama like that. I don't want to go back to watching like Ron, crazy leg Stimkins, who's, 5'8" out there playing point guard for Hickory in like the NBA. But I like in baseball, there's just something about hearing, like you hear the stories of Babe Ruth, right? Like, oh boy's going up there with a huge bat. That's heavy as hell.
That's
after he just ate two glizzies and drank a beer.
That's all we had.
That's all we need. It's America.
I want Dennis. That's all we
need. That's all we had. It's exactly. Either you go to war or you go to a baseball game.
like baseball can do. If you're going to go that way, then go 100%.
Look, I don't want to go up there and watch some fat dude smoking a cigarette throwing 83 and who's tired.
Have you seen Bartolo Colon? That's my favorite baseball player, dog.
It's one of them's fine. All right, but you can't have six guys who look like absolute, just look terrible out there playing baseball. No one's going to want to watch that.
I don't know. I feel
maybe
like
the
they
older,
would.
Maybe
yes,
maybe the older generation a little bit, but they're targeting younger generation.
Now, why is John Daly? Like, why is John Daly so loved in the golf world? They love this guy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, they wouldn't love John Daly as much if there were nine John Daly's out there.
Dude, who's
it's because he's
John Staley.
When you're talking about baseball, that fat guy's playing first base, third base, left field. You want your athletic guy? Put him at shortstop, center field. There you go. Give me the guys that are off.
Yeah, I kind of congrats.
And let's see their natural ability. That stuff would be great.
Yeah, let's
performance
talk about
dehancers.
Let's talk about athletic guys. Let's talk about athletic guys on steroids. Let's talk about buttered sausage and what why it is. But I'm telling you right now, like if you're a fan of baseball and you want eyes to get to a TV, I just want to see how far humans can go. All right, this is the Elon Musk in me.
Yeah.
All right, I want to see how like Prometheus. I want to see how far we can take this.
Yeah.
Thing.
But
all right, that's what I want to see. Like how. High can a human jump on steroids? You know, how far can he throw a javelin?
Yeah.
All right. Can he beat up Dewey the Bear? Like, these are the questions that we need answered. It's time, y'all. Mm-hmm. And there's so much money. There's
I love this debate.
So much money in this. Because if you're just a businessman, I'm telling you, no one gives a rat's ass about baseball anymore. They don't. You can see all the old heads can get upset. That's fine. I don't care. No one watches it. But if you want people to start watching baseball again, go back to Mark McGwire. Go back to Sammy Sosa. That's back in the day where they're just juicing. It's a Wells factory. There's so much juice in these guys.
And this guy claims to be a Yankees. He claims to be a Yankees fan. You're not a Yankees fan.
Good call, I am a Yankees
Brian.
Fan. Dave, don't talk to me about fandom, all right?
You're not a Yankees
I don't want to
fan.
Hear it.
Brian, thanks for your call, man. Look, at the very least, we are going to reach out to Peter Thiel to at least try and get involved in the enhanced game. So we'll see. But last caller of the day, Kirk in Canada. Kirk, how you doing?
Doing good, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good, man.
What's up, man?
So
What's up?
your first caller said Romans 8:28, but I thought to myself, man, some of your listeners might not even know what Romans 8:28 is. So I'll read that if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Awesome verse.
Amen.
There it is. There it is. That's what I'm saying. That's why instant check. That's why you're in. It's again, sell me this pin. You want to be a salesman? I Grant Cardone'd him.
What about Romans?
Sell me this pin.
What about Romans 15:7? Whoever thy bet against the flyers shall perish down below.
Oh, my word.
Oh man. What's the hockey update, Kirk?
Yeah, since it's Friday, we're going to talk real quick. There was a massive trade this week. The first-place Vancouver Canucks gave up a first-round pick, a conditional fourth-round pick, and three other players to get Elias Lindholm from the Calgary Flames.
Mm.
This is
Flame
no
on.
Small trade. They're already in first place. But one of the guys that they traded for is a prospect. And somebody grab a pen. I want Flame and Dragon to read this guy's last name for me real quick. His first name is Spencer. His last name is, are you ready for
go,
it?
Go ahead.
It's BRZ.
Go ahead. BRZ.
Okay, first three letters. UST.
UST.
EW. Yep.
EW.
ICZ. Or in Canada, ICZ.
ICZ.
So BRZUSTEWICZ.
Yeah, pronounce that.
What's his first name? Hunter?
Yeah, you got that one.
Thank you so much for everybody. Can I just give a real shout out to everybody in the chat for not donating to make me read hockey names? It's so great. It's so great. Thank y'all for so much for not doing that.
Yeah.
Bruchichichwitches.
Kirk, just let us know. Skyhook, man.
Kirk, how do you pronounce it?
I'm not even sure, boys. He's a prospect. He hasn't even played in the NHL.
It's Bruchichichwitches.
If I had to guess, it would be Bruchichwitch, but I'm going to, I'll check and get the.
Nah, that sounds wrong.
I just call him Hunter B.
Yeah.
Cardi B, Hunter B.
Kirk, appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling in. We'll talk to you next week. And Jake, here's your friendly end of show reminder. Hey, we're hitting this under.
I feel
yes,
like they
Roma
said
there.
It. I
Roma's
feel like
there.
They said it again.
Said, see, no if you'd have put it at a half, you'd have hit.
And no one
but
caught
you didn't. You got
and nobody
but
caught it.
Let's get to the donos because I want to talk about that story that you were saying.
All right, let's go to Mark Cumnock. Nobody laugh. $2 donation, Mark. Thank you. You didn't put anything under it. So right now I'm looking for what you said because I'm going to find it. And aha, it says address this. Tennessee has a law on the books for NIL that supersedes the NCAA guidelines. Law trumps guidelines.
Well, I'm going to have to see if you're saying it's a state law by Tennessee. It's a state law by Tennessee. I'd have to look at that. I don't want to comment on something that I don't know.
All right, let's go to Chase Mills, $5 donation. I've been doing my whole life, bro. It says, just placed a nasty future for 100 bones. Adley Rutschman to win AL MVP this year.
Not crazy.
Plus 1,900. Mm. Orioles are going to be a fun team to watch.
They're young. They got a bunch of young gunners, including one from Selma, Alabama. I think he may have won AL Rookie of the Year, maybe. My boy Gunner over there. Big Auburn guy, by the way.
Let's go to Steve's trading card frenzy. $10 donation. Steve, we got to get you those headshots. Says, I'm late to the show, but it was so worth it. I hit a 12-game round-robin parlay last night.
Stevie.
And it was plus 194.
Let's give him a Stevie.
Wow. Also, the action figures, get with me, and we can form a plan. Great hit on the round-robin.
Good job.
Plus
194,
Stevie. I love to see it. Let's go to Ryan Gay with the $5 donation. Ryan, good to see you back in here, buddy. Says, how are my Mountaineers looking at senior day? Don't look over. Zach Frazier was one of the best centers in the country this season. Hashtag.
Yeah, I saw Neil Brown the other day on the sideline, by the way. Big year for him last year.
All right, let's go to Maximum Vol with the $5 donation. Appreciate it. He says, there should be steroids in baseball. Also, y'all should interview Joe Milton, talk about the Tennessee situation. We didn't get to interview Joe, but if we did interview Joe, we probably wouldn't have brought that up.
No, probably. It's especially when he's 8 foot tall.
Let's go to One Night with the $5 donation. He says, Kentucky fan here.
Oh, yeah.
This year feels like a make or break season for some fans. Who would you get to replace Cal if we have another abrupt March?
Look, and I've been saying it about Calipari. I've been just been saying it, and I've cut a lot of hell from Kentucky fans over the past 3 years, but I'll continue to say it. To me, who I would hire, I would take a trip to the team that just beat you, and I would hire Todd Golden. Mm. I'd hire Todd Golden from Florida. I'm telling you right now, dude's a problem. I'm worried. As an Auburn guy, I'm worried.
Let's go to Jan B. with the $10 donation. Jan, appreciate it. Go ahead, Doug.
I thought he was basketball. Sorry. Okay. Oh, yeah.
No, he was. He was.
Oh, okay.
He was.
Gotcha.
I'd go. Yeah.
All right, Jan B., $10 donation. Appreciate it. LeBron is mid and Jordan is the GOAT, Cap. Is there an MLB conclusion on not signing Scott Boras clients?
I've not seen a conclusion on it. That's been a really interesting story as well. Talk about getting blackballed. Let me look into that, and we'll talk about it on Monday.
Let's go to Justin Decker. Are we talking upper or lower?
Upper or lower. That's I'm going to give Justin a shout-out for monitoring the Facebook group chat, too. Justin, you're doing a hell of a job, brother.
$5 donation, Justin. Appreciate it. Benedict Bowe can't claim Auburn. He chose to leave.
Benedict Bowe.
He couldn't take the heat in the kitchen. You're a duck, my guy.
Don't do that to Bowe.
Some people claim, some people flame.
No, I claim Bowe. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, not sorry, dude. Let's go to the last donation of the day. Steve, $10 donation. Steve, I don't think I got to this yesterday. Says, can we do a right and wrong segment about who you've seen at the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, we said that.
Did we get to that yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay, that was the last donation. There, actually, we just got two more, of course. Katorius with a $5 donation. Appreciate it. With the CFP going to 12 teams, why not take some mid-tier bowls and make the college football version of the NIT?
See, I don't hate that. I think I've said that. I think I brought that idea up. I think we've actually talked about that. And towards, I think me and you are just vibing. We're on the same wavelength right now. I love it.
Let's go. Devin 21 with a $10 donation. Thank you, Devin. Morning, fellas. Good morning to you. We have the greatest rivalry in college sports happening tomorrow. UNC versus Duke.
What?
Going to be a hell of a game.
Second best rivalry.
UNC is out for blood after losing on Tuesday. Hashtag go.
Yeah, you're right. If we're talking college basketball, yes, that's the best rivalry in college basketball. I don't think anybody's going to debate that. But when it comes to football, Dev, you know what's up. Very interesting to see North Carolina, Duke, Baycott, Filipowski inside, ready to see that battle. I guess we'll get to the break-in story, like should you have a dog and the stuff we talked about last night, because Blaine had, we got 3 minutes.
See? He wanted this story told. That's what, see? I tried to tell him. Oh, this better be the greatest story I've ever heard.
David, I don't know what to say. There are no words.
Down is out. Had us in the first half.
God.
Can't lie.
It's the most Auburn thing.
This
is the most Auburn thing I've ever done.
All right, Mark coming with another $5 donation. Mark, appreciate it.
Got him to burn this place down.
Oh, it's needed. See, I told you. I just let him cruise by in the beginning.
God, David even reminded me. Even reminded me.
He says, yes, state law on Tennessee NIL. Our governor signed it 2 years ago for college and high.
Yeah, but it's this isn't the federal government that's coming after Tennessee. It's the NCAA.
Yeah, but here's again, the rule. The only rule you need to know in Tennessee state law for this is NIL is this state's backbone. It is this state.
That's exactly
backbone.
Right.
That's what you need to know.
Yeah, the Tennessee Attorney General's suing the NCAA. So when it comes to like the state law, I think it may be on the other side of it.
Yeah, everyone said it was 4th and 31.
You know what?
You blew it.
And how high is this building?
High enough. Yeah. All right, let's get to the poll. I guess we did the story another day. I'm getting yelled at in my ear. And then this has been kind of circulating all week at the Senior Bowl. In my opinion, it's been the biggest topic. The poll is today, am I better looking than Sam Hartman?
I'm going to tell you right now, if he says yes, he's either lying or y'all are on the take. So I'm going to say they said no 65%.
Man, Sam Hartman's a good-looking cat, but give me my boy, Flamin' Dragon. Give me my boy Flaming Dragon. 87%.
That's what I'm talking about. Not even my own brother.
87%.
Not even my own brother.
Lock it in.
I'm not a liar. It'd be your own people. It'd really be your own people.
We could hug it out when you come back.
Yeah. I mean, yes. If I was a Disney character, I'd be Pocahontas.
Yes. 72%.
Wait, was the question, is Sam Hartman better looking than you? Or was it that you're better looking than Sam Hartman?
The real results.
Yeah.
No. 66%.
Wow, I was right on it. Yes. Wow. I was right on it.
34.4% in here.
Yeah, it's probably the same 34% that wanted you to be in charge of college football.
So you just, if you voted no,
you just, it'd be like North Korea.
I hope you
get Blaine a, be walking the
I hope
room
you
like
get
Kim
a
Jong-un.
Flat tire on the way to work.
Like everybody would have to start club, just turn into an NPC character, Blaine walks in. But, all right, great week. Thank you, everybody, to the Senior Bowl. Molly Middleton, Jim Nagy, our production, Zach, Justine.
Yes.
Great job. Doing it. We got tons more content that's coming out. Interviews with Spencer Rattler,
you want
Vlad
to know how
McConkey.
We're real?
How are we real?
If you can see behind us right now.
Yeah, there's nobody. We're the only ones here. We're the only ones here. But all right, we appreciate you guys. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Check out our sponsors. And like Senior Bowl Practice Week 2024, we're going, gone.